Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for calling in to the Rates and Lanes weekly podcast. This is your host, Chuck Snow, broadcasting live from Milton, Ontario, Canada. Unfortunately, my co-host, Rico Muhammad, fortunately, he's not here tonight because he's taken a well-deserved holiday and he's somewhere in the Caribbean enjoying the sunshine and everything else that the beaches have to offer. And unfortunately, he did not have cellular service, so he's not able to join us. But instead of having Rico, we're going to do things a little bit different tonight. And we have a special guest. And tonight, as I had mentioned on some social media posts, we have Carmen Diaz. Carmen is the show manager for the upcoming NACV show. And she will be joining us any minute. Carmen is she's kind of a unique individual in the fact that she has got some logistics experience and some show experience, and we are very interested in this upcoming NACV show. Traffix has a booth, and I think that this show, I like where it is. It's in Atlanta. I like when it is. It's in October. And right at the end, I think it's a great time of year. I think that we can maybe take a couple days, any of us, and attend this show and have an opportunity to learn something and meet new people. Carmen will be joining us any minute. Now, my daughter Carly in Vancouver, British Columbia, is manning the switchboard tonight. If anybody wants to call in and has a question about the show or about anything else, press 1, or if you want to add your perspective. Now, what I want to put out tonight, as soon as Carmen joins us, is if many of you have attended truck shows in the past, and everybody has their own idea or ideas of what would make a perfect truck show. If you've got some suggestions, remember, this NACV show is in its second year. It's a show that goes on once every 2 years. So it was 2 years ago in 2017. It was its first year that they attended it, Atlanta. And it's actually a German company, I believe. Carmen can correct me if I'm wrong when she dials in. Hang on a second. Carmen, if you're on the line, press 1 and you'll get patched in. And you can join the conversation. Anyways, this is their second year of doing it. And I think this show is even going to be better than last time. I think they learned a lot of things in the last 2 years. The industry has changed. There's a lot of things happening. And I want to talk to Carmen about this. You know, personally, I've used trade shows to build a business. And, you know, as I've told a lot of you, as we are on our brokerage side, we're, I think, number 32 of the largest load brokerage firms in North America on transport topics. And what we have learned at trade shows and the people we have met has certainly helped propel our business. And this wasn't just exhibiting. This was attending. I built a business by attending trade shows as well. And it was a really, really good experience. Hang on, here is Carmen now. I'm going to put her through. I'm not used to working the switchboard, although Carly is tonight. Hang on. Let me see if I can get her on. Carmen, is that you?
Hey, Chuck. It's me, Carmen. Yep.
Oh, okay. I did that one right. I apologize, everybody. Rico's a switchboard guy, and since he doesn't have the technology in Dominican to do this, I'm manning this side of it myself with my daughter Carly's help in Vancouver. Welcome to the show. I am so glad you came. This is fantastic. I am excited to have you on here because I really believe in what you're doing. I think anything that can be done to educate people in the trucking and logistics professions is so important. And I think that these shows do that. It's not just about meeting people, which you do at these shows. It's also about attending them or exhibiting them and how much you learn. And Carmen, I want to just introduce you. Carmen is the show manager for the North American Commercial Vehicle Show, NACV show. Carmen's a Florida native. She is now based out of Chicago, Illinois. And she's got a background in the event operations and the logistics professions for the past 10 years. It was a natural transition for Carmen to move to the trucking industry. And if you're down in Atlanta, come and meet Carmen at the second edition of the NACV show, which is going to take place in Atlanta October 28th to the 31st. And that's in downtown Atlanta, correct?
Correct, yeah, the Georgia Rural Congress Center.
Okay. Well, you know, I was asked some questions today by some people. What is being done to accommodate anybody that comes with a truck? I know you cannot bring a truck into downtown Atlanta. Is there anything, any places that are going to be available for parking on the outskirts with shuttle services or anything like that?
Yeah, Chuck, for sure. There should be some available parking. There is a small parking lot in the back that could potentially hold some trucks during the show days. However, there isn't a whole lot of space available. Better off probably parking either at one of the hotels or somewhere on the outskirts of the city, and you can either take in the MARTA or use one of the public transportation systems. There's quite a few. You could always Uber or Lyft in, as well as there's a lot of different options to get around the city. It's actually a pretty dense, but there's good public transportation.
Yeah, I was surprised at a couple of things. Number one, how small the city of Atlanta is itself as far as population, but the outskirts are huge, and they have wonderful public transport there as compared to a lot of other cities to bring people in from the outside. And of course, there's, if you know Atlanta at all, it's a great big circle around Atlanta with various suburbs and industrial zones. So it shouldn't be a problem for our listeners to get in if they end up bringing their truck to the show.
Yeah, there should be a couple different options. We can always look some other options up and always post them on our website. If you are interested in coming in and bringing your truck, just shoot us an email at info@nacbshow.com, and we'll try to see if we can accommodate and see what kind of response we get back and see if we can make some sort of arrangements.
Yeah, whatever any of yous do, don't bring your truck to downtown Atlanta. You're going to miss the show. Knowing the traffic there, so you know you'll get there a day before the show, and you'll get out of there November 1st. So I wouldn't do that, Carmen. You know, you and I had a wonderful conversation last week, and you know I felt like I had known you forever, just the way the conversation flowed. And you've had a phenomenal career. You really have, and you've done so well. Your background is, I want our listeners to hear this, in events and logistics. So you started out in, did you start out in logistics, or did you learn about logistics through events and work back and forth? Tell everybody about this. I think it's fascinating.
I started off working in event operations. So I worked for a general contractor where we would bring in all of the freight as well as all the different services that are available at a trade show. So that's how I kind of started in this industry, working for Freeman, which is one of the larger ones in the country. And
right.
Then from there, I went on to the exhibitor side, where I actually worked as for a lighting manufacturer. So I did a lot of shipping and warehouse work there. I learned how to, work a forklift and all that fun stuff, and moving freight around and moving all of our shipments around, and then had to do a lot of third-party logistics work with brokers that were very kind and took pity on my soul and my ignorance in shipping and helped me get all of my freight to the show, which, as you know, and I'm sure all of your listeners know, is sometimes a little bit of a challenge getting in and out of trade shows and doing logistics for trade shows. shows. So I learned a lot on the operations side, and when I was given the opportunity to start managing the NACD show, I felt like it was a good fit just because I'm more of a warehouse worker type than I am a anything else. Let's just say that.
Well, you know what? For somebody that's don't undersell yourself, because I think you're doing a great job with this show, promoting it and bringing it up to snuff. You know, it's a unique show because it's you're based out of Germany, correct? Is that where head office is for this company?
Yeah, so we have a partnership. The NACD show is actually owned by a partnership, but my parent company, the company that I particularly work for, is based out of Germany. So the Deutsche Messe, or the Hanover Fair Hall in Hanover, Germany. We also have a partnership where we work with a publication out of Canada who is our half owner in the show. So Truck World, in combination with Today's Trucking, is the other half of the partnership.
Know them well. Great publications. Okay.
Yeah. The Gliones are a great family, and I've worked very closely with them, and it's been a wonderful experience.
Well, it sounds like you're moving, you know, in a forward direction with this show. A lot of us in the trucking industry and logistics industries are excited about having, you know, attending and going there. Now, there were some misconceptions about this show originally, that it was just for large carriers. And when I was at the MAPS show back in March, somebody from your organization came by and I was talking to them, and I said, well, it's probably not quite our target market. We're looking for smaller, you know, some of the smaller carriers as well. And that's where they enlightened me and said, no, you know, we're looking for attendance of all types and exhibitors of all types. What is going on? Can you set the record straight with this show? Because there is some misconceptions. So just tell the listeners who it's for.
Yeah. Well, you know, with growing pains, right? As you start,
of course,
serving the market, you start to realize that you may have one conception when you come in about what one concept or perception of when you come in about what you want the show to look like. And as it starts to develop, you start to realize, like, there are other opportunities and amazing opportunities available for all types of fleets and all types of carriers. So originally, when the concept came to fruition, it was mostly the truck OEMs that drove a lot of the vision and kind of where they wanted this to go. Ultimately, I think we've come to realize that there's a great space and there's a lot of opportunity to help all carriers, and really focusing on fleet services, because there really isn't a committed fleet show. Well, I mean, there are some, but there's a lot of other kind of complicated parts to it that could potentially draw away from the opportunities and services for exhibitors. So we really kind of wanted to narrow our focus on sticking to fleets, on people who want to grow fleets. So whether you're 5 trucks, you're 20 trucks, you're 200 trucks, you're 1,000 trucks, we want to create an experience that will help you grow your business. So whether the front end, back end of the show, we have a lot of different kinds of experiences that we're kind of building over the 4 days to provide services and different things for every truck size or every fleet size.
Well, that's great. Now, what sort of any hint? And I know we're a little early, and I don't want to let you, you know, I don't want to ask you to let the cat out of the bag. But what sort of lectures? And you know, I know that MAPS is pretty good with lectures. That's one of the, you know, there's a lot of things I don't like about MAPS, and I'll go on, I'll go on record. And MAPS and GATS both do this, and I hope you people don't, where they allow the first half day is VIP only, and that doesn't really work for everybody in the show. And that's one of the things that we don't really like. And if any of our listeners have a question about this show or any other show, or have a suggestion, now is your chance. If you've got a suggestion of what you think would make a better truck show, just press 1 and join the conversation. We'd love to have you, because so many of you have been to probably more truck shows than I have even. So, and possibly, I don't know how many truck shows you've been to, Carmen. You've probably gone to a few in the last few years. But if you've got some suggestions, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah, I'm always open to suggestion. I'm always learning more. I've been doing this for about 2 years, but the one thing I've realized is that I know nothing. It's a very big learning curve. So it's been
You said that the other day, though, that you knew nothing. And I got to tell you, I was blown away by how much you knew about the not just shows, but the logistics and trucking businesses. I've had discussions with management from both GATS and MATS, and those people knew all about shows, but they didn't know a whole lot about the workings of the trucking and logistics professions. And you seem to, I guess, you've got it nailed. You understand, you certainly understand the event business as well. You have a really great grasp on both the trucking and logistics industries.
Oh, I appreciate that, Chuck. I've been reading everything I can get my fingers on since I've started this position, and I can honestly say there's just so much out there, and there's so much history, and there's so much knowledge, and trying to retain and kind of digest everything has been difficult. But having amazing resources like you and other key people that I've spoken to has really kind of given me an awesome opportunity to bounce ideas off of people and to kind of find that path that we really want to find for this show and kind of narrow down our focus. But I can honestly say that there's a lot of really good opportunity for lectures, getting back to your original question. So not lectures per se. We didn't want to take away too much time from the expo hall because ultimately we have a lot of amazing exhibitors. We want to make sure that people have enough time to walk through the entire show and actually get to experience. It's a very big floor. So I want to give you guys more than enough time to actually walk everything and get to see everything you want to see. But we did provide quite a few interesting opportunities for learning, because ultimately that's really what you're there for. You're there to see these products, but you're also there to learn. So we have these different networking, different learning opportunities. We have these on-floor education theaters. There'll be three of them currently, potentially a fourth one.
Oh, wow.
That will provide small mini sessions, 35 minutes, that are being run by some of our media partners. They'll be providing content that is relevant to fleets and kind of technology as it's progressing in this industry, as well as we have introducing a new Ask the Expert sessions where it's kind of these small networking sessions that provide you with a 30-minute presentation off of the an expert in this certain topic, and then the next 30 minutes will be a networking session between fleets that are in the group. So these are capped out at 20 people per session, and it's really kind of created as a guided mentorship with an expert, kind of really gets you deep diving into that subject and really kind of networking with your peers so that when you are solving these problems, you can kind of reach out to people that you've met within that workshop to kind of bounce ideas off of them, since you're probably not the only one going through it. So it's always helpful to have another ear or someone else to kind of bounce something off of. So that's what I've envisioned for those sessions, is to kind of create a very open discussion between your peers to learn and to collaborate.
Wow.
And then
I'm speechless, seriously. Because I've been to so many truck shows, and they've had nothing like this. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm just really impressed with this.
Oh, you're very welcome. And that's what I appreciate that feedback, because it is something that it's new, really trying it out and seeing if it helps people. Because that's something that I've learned in the trade show industry, is that it's unbelievably helpful when you have peers you can call on to just discuss stuff like, have you done this before? How did you do this? How did you manage this? And that's really where I've learned so much in trying to build events and the pitfalls and the, the things to avoid when you're doing event planning. So it's been unbelievably helpful resource for me. So I figured this might be a good opportunity to kind of translate that into trucking. And I feel like a lot of trucking really is quite similar to the trade show industry, in that trucking touches everybody. And so do trade shows. These are things that are in every industry. It doesn't matter how big or small, there's a trade show, no matter how big or small, they're touched by trucking. So I feel like they have a lot of very similar aspects and a lot of very similar challenges in the sense of building community and learning more about that industry.
Wow. That, you know what? What a different way of doing things. Now, did you do something along these lines last time for the last show in 2017?
We did not. We did not have any education in 2017. And, well, we had education on the show floor. There were exhibitors that had kind of taken it upon themselves to create some sort of sessions and kind of ran those over the show time. However, in getting a lot of feedback from our first survey, which unbelievably thankful to anybody who filled out the survey. I know you guys see them and sometimes you fill them out and sometimes you don't, but it is really, really helpful for us to get kind of feedback on what people want and what they see. And we may not be able to action everything that we get, but we do look at all of it and we try as much as possible to kind of take that into account as we're making our plans for the next edition. And a big ask was of education. There were very many of the attendees that filled out the survey that really just really wanted more education opportunities. And so we heard that and we went ahead and put together a program, and hopefully everybody really enjoys it and gains value from it and, you know, is planning to take advantage of it so that we can do more of it for the next edition.
Well, you know what? I think that these trade shows are so important to attend for everybody. It's not just, you know, and on both sides. And if you have a company like ours, a load brokerage service, I think it's a great place to have a booth. Or if you're selling tires or you're selling wheel balancing systems or whatever, you know, if you're selling coast-to-coast fuel, it doesn't matter. I think that you want to be at these shows because they're probably the best investment you can make, both as a attendee or as an exhibitor, because of the contacts and what you learn. You know, as an attendee, I can tell you I've done a few things. Number one, I've made some tremendous business contacts at every show I've ever attended. And I actually, you know, that was one of the foundations of our business, was attending trade shows and just getting out and meeting people. And I never went to sell at a trade show, because it wasn't a place to sell my service when somebody else was renting a booth. But certainly in order to gather information and find out products that were made in places where I needed freight. And it was a great target area that really helped us to grow. At the same time, as an exhibitor, you know, on one show once as an exhibitor, and this was a very, very small regional show in Ontario here, and there was a carrier I was looking for, a very small carrier, and this is back in the days way before technology, and we had lost contact with each other. And because I had rented that booth at that show that day, I was able to reconnect with that carrier, and I made a lot of money with that person because I was at that show. So it's one of those things, I think, attending these shows and exhibiting, you know, if you've got something to exhibit at these shows, well, even if you're looking for owner-operators and you're a carrier, I think it's probably a good investment to have a booth at these types of shows, because that's where you're going to meet people. And people, what happens is, unfortunately, I think when you go into times when, and we're going into one right now, rates, in, as you know, Carmen, because you seem to know more what's going on in trucking and logistics and some of the people that are actually doing it full time. And you know that rates are being compressed to some degree and people are getting a little bit nervous. And, you know, it's starting to read that, you know, new truck orders are down and this sort of thing is going on. And with all of this going on, it's a lot of people are very quick to stop making investments in both personal education and travel, to business travel, to go to events like yours, or to even exhibit, because they're trying to control costs. But these are probably some of the best investments you'll make because of the contacts or what you will learn at some of these seminars.
Exactly.
Because you always go away. Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, you always go away from these seminars learning something that you can apply to your business.
Exactly. And even if you don't necessarily walk away with an immediate, you know, sale or something along those lines, those are the connections, those are the face-to-face connections that you can make with people where 6 months, 7 months, when capacity does pick up again and people start to, like, really start looking at investment in the next, you know, edition or run of their long haul or whatever cycle they're in, that they'll think of you, they'll remember you. Even though it may not pan out in the next 2 months, it'll most likely pan out, you know, in the next year or maybe two. So these are where lasting connections are really made, where you get that face-to-face time with someone where you can actually shake their hand and have a conversation, and you're not just cold calling, you know, 20 times a day. You're not trying to beat someone's door down to get to them. You're not, you know, kind of the trials and tribulations of this remote world. This is one of the few instances where there's somebody there and they're there to talk to you and they're interested. And whether it may not pan out today, it'll definitely pan out tomorrow.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, with everything going on in our industry with, you know, the cost of operating a truck, it's gone through the roof with the cost of buying a truck, just everything and rates being compressed on top of it. What you're going to learn at the shows as well as the people you meet, you know, you may be in one of those groups with some peers and you may find out that the individual sitting next to you that lives in the next state to where you live, you and that person may be able to make a deal and do an interline service together and have an interline partnership. And, you know, I feel really strongly that the future in trucking is going to be going back to interline relationships where, you know, I think personally, I think that the whole idea of drivers going out and being gone for 10 days, I think it's going to become more, you know, very rare because of a number of things. Number one, the cost of a brand new highway unit is just so expensive to take that. I know up in Canada, we're talking in Canadian dollars, we're talking close to $160,000 or $170,000 for that truck in Canadian dollars. Mm-hmm. But you see, up in Canada, truckers usually get paid in Canadian dollars. And we buy our fuel quite often on long trips in U.S. dollars. So we're pretty much upside down to start with. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you take that $170,000 asset and you can only drive it for 70 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens after that, the driver's sleeping the other time because people don't want to be, you know, drivers don't want to be part of a slip seat operation where they're sleeping in the truck because they don't want to share a bed with strangers. And I don't blame them. You know, you don't know who else has been in that truck. So what I see happening in the future is drivers will drive 250 or 300 miles on a run. And they'll hand on for a long distance run. They'll hand that trailer off to another driver and it'll work like a relay race. And that's what used to be done years ago when I got into this industry. I wasn't part of that because I was part of the disruptors 45 years ago. But because of costs and because of the fact that if you ask any truck driver what he wants most, it's home, you know, it's home time and work-life balance and money. Those are the three things they want. And you can get it. You can have everything you want if you run your business that way. So you're not out 500 or 600 miles having to sleep in the truck. You're home every night. And the beauty is that that truck can be driven by another individual for another shift. And where I think the future, and I think going to events like yours, and I'm sure somebody's probably going to be talking about that because it's one of those things that's just a natural. And there's so many different technologies that are coming out. We're being bombarded. You know, between autonomous trucks and battery-operated trucks and hydrogen trucks. You know, it's exciting. And, you know, I'm reading that one of the companies, and I forget which one, is offering a truck basically at just under $1 a mile, including fuel, tires, and everything. So that's probably the, you know, and I imagine they, you know, these are the types of people that are going to be exhibiting at your show because it sounds like it's cutting edge. And
yeah.
I think that our listeners are probably going to want to see this as a alternative to what they're doing, because what so many of us are doing right now isn't working the way it worked before, you know, because there's been so many changes. You know, technology has just taken over this in both trucking and logistics professions.
Yeah, for sure. And even more so than just computer technology, but also just new technology and equipment, like getting that better drivetrain, getting those better tires, getting better transmission, just different parts that are new technology, but don't fall into that, you know, computer operated realm, however, are still super advanced and really kind of creating these efficiency models that are helping people run on that less, run on less money, less, you know, less cost, less waste. So there's a lot of that technology everywhere throughout the show. There's everything you could possibly imagine. We've got somebody there that can help you, and they have experts on the floor that can answer your questions and can help you make those decisions, decide whether this technology really is the right thing for you to invest in or if it's the best use case for your situation.
100%. And, you know, there's so much to choose from, and you can't one of the problems in every industry, you have those people that want to just stick their head in the sand and pretend that these changes aren't happening. And it's the ones that embrace the change. And you know, the larger carriers can do that quite easily. They've got their own engineering departments and everything else making decisions. It's pretty hard for smaller carriers that are, you know, 5 to 20 trucks to be investing in some of this technology, but they have to do it in order to stay relevant. So I would think that an event like yours streamlines that, all of that information of which technology is the best to invest in, because you certainly, as a small carrier, you cannot invest in all of it or anywhere near it.
Correct. Yeah. And then that's one of the topics that I'm trying to address in the education sessions that I'm working on, is kind of providing that as a concept. What is, how do you vet technology when you're trying to just, you know, bring in a new tech? Is it worth it? How do you start the process? How do you weigh that? How do you weigh the pros and cons of adding something or a new feature or a new product to your existing fleet? And, or do you go moving forward with every truck you purchase in the future with those services? Or like, what's the best scenario and best use case for bringing in and introducing these new technologies? And on top of that, we have all these engineers and all of these different product managers that are going to be on the show floor themselves that you can speak to intelligently. But what's the best way to vet this, and what's the best use case, and how do I analyze this? So that is definitely something that I've heard from so many fleets in talking to different fleets and different fleet managers and operations and maintenance managers. I've learned that there is kind of this fine line between how much the cost is going to be, how much am I really going to get from this, and is this worth my time and investment? So, and is it worth my truck's downtime? So I think that there's a really strong reason for people to come to the show to learn what is the best technology, is it worth it, and how to make that investment smartly.
Well, you know, speaking of technology, and you are learning, you're probably learning even more about all these technologies than you are about trucking and logistics, because you're actually out there in the front line. And can you just share, and I don't want to, again, I don't want you to let things out of the bag that you're not supposed to, but you're watching all this tremendous change and disruptions and with these new technologies. And what, if you could, what is the one thing you think that nobody's watching but you think is going to be the next huge trend? the real game changer.
Oh.
What would you think?
I don't want to step on anybody's toes. There's a lot of really great stuff out there that I've been hearing about, murmurs about, that I'm very excited about, and they're all going to be at the show. I'm on the front end with a lot of these exhibitors. They're keeping me,
I don't want you to get in any.
I'm excited. But neither here nor there. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a technical person. But I will say I'm really excited about just seeing as these trends are coming through and seeing how everything is developing. I'm really excited about a couple of different topics. I'm excited to see how IoT and IIoT are really kind of playing into the trucking industry and how these kind of predictive maintenance, these different tools and technologies are kind of coming in to help make fleets run more efficiently, help them with making sure that they're addressing issues before they happen. A lot of that smart tech being kind of played into all these different parts and pieces that before you would never have thought of, or just playing a bigger role in it, and all of that rolling up into one bigger pocket of information is kind of amazing to watch it happen. I'm a data-driven person, obviously. I'm in the events industry. For me, watching how all of that's changing is really fascinating. The other thing I find really interesting, which I don't know if this is ever going to pan out, and I really don't know anything about use case for it. So I'm going to be honest, what I know is very limited, but hydrogen fuel cells and just alternative fuel options, it's incredible. I mean, it's just watching this very slowly develop and kind of become what it's becoming is kind of fascinating. And I know, cost and some other factors, there's a lot of mitigating factors as to why it could be the right choice for you or not the right choice for you. But seeing what's happening with hydrogen fuel cells in my very limited scope of what I've seen is kind of fascinating. I'm really excited about what the potential is for these alternative fuel options.
I couldn't agree more. From what the little bit I've read, you read up on this and you look at the operating costs and it's so low, and you look at the lack of environmental impact. It looks good for the optics are phenomenal. You can paint all over your truck that we're not polluting. The only thing we're polluting is, we have some water coming out as a byproduct.
Exactly.
It's exciting. And, I think that personally, I think that hydrogen probably is the next thing. I knew a fellow up here in Canada that was running a fleet of cars with hydrogen back in 1981. And
wow, that's impressive.
It could be done, that's almost 40 years ago. So
yeah,
it could be done. And we've come a long way in 40 years. And now
yeah,
you've got a lot of money being invested because, I love oil. It's great stuff, but let's face it, it's dirty. It pollutes. It's not, its days are numbered for certain applications. There's some applications where it will always be needed. But I think that given the pressure from people to clean up our act, we're seeing something in Canada which is just climate change. It's happening here. We're seeing record floods and all sorts of stuff. Forest fires out in British Columbia and Alberta already. It's only May. That usually doesn't start till July. All sorts of things. So we're all concerned about environmental impact, and I think that everybody wants a clean world to live in, and I think that hydrogen is probably going to deliver that eventually. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think it probably is going to happen sooner than we think.
Yeah, I'll be honest, and in all transparency, my parent company does own a hydrogen fuel cell show, so this is not necessarily self-serving, but one of the things where I knew nothing about it when I was first introduced to the topic, and when I was told what we were going to be doing, that we were going to have hydrogen on a trade show floor, every part of my brain said, oh my God, are you insane? Like, there's invisible fire. Like, what are you thinking? Every safety portion of my head was like, red alert, red alert, red alert. So I started reading up about it and got even, I will say I got even more nervous from what I read. And but the reality was, once the show started and they had the hydrogen machine, you know, running in a booth where they were actually, you know, showing how hydrogen fuel cells actually, you know, transmit information, you know, create electricity and can be used to power different things around a home. And it was like this really interesting display where it kind of just really boiled it down to the very bare minimum basics of how this process works. And then also, after watching all the different sessions we had in our educational theater on all the technology that's being developed in hydrogen, we had a lot of European companies coming in because Europe has become a lot more advanced when it comes to hydrogen, but then also learning about a lot of the infrastructure we already have that can be retrofitted and used for hydrogen, as well as just some of the technology advances like solid-state hydrogen, where they're actually creating like a solid state hydrogen that can be easily put into and removed from a car and or a truck to fuel faster, so that you don't have to wait for it to fuel like petrol or gas. Right. That you'd actually be able to just like put in a cartridge and pull it out, and it's solid, so that you don't have a lot of the issues with, you know, potentially combustion or other piercing or invisible fire or those fun things that we kind of get scared of when you hear words like that. But really kind of a fascinating technology, and I feel like it's really growing in leaps and bounds, but it's a really interesting and the potential is just amazing. And hopefully, you know, we can move to some of that stuff. And again, use case, right? Like you mentioned, I think that the one thing I've realized since I've started working in this industry is that everything has its time and its place. And just because it works one way, it doesn't work another. And that the key is to be diversified, to understand what your market is and what you're doing, and making sure that you're making the most responsible and best decision possible for your business and for the world. So
I agree, but you know, I'm going to presume that hydrogen show was in Europe. Was it?
So yeah, it is actually, it's one of the topics that is presented at the Hanover Messe, which is the world's largest industrial automation trade show.
Right.
It is the founding show that started our company and our convention center. But the show that I actually worked on was part of Solar Power International. It was a pavilion that we helped organize at Solar Power. And it was really where I truly learned about what hydrogen is and its potential. And I was just floored. I was completely floored because I had no idea. And I felt very strongly that, you know, I felt better for doing it because I learned so much and really just kind of opened my eyes.
Oh yeah. And,
again,
you know, I think
a reason
that,
to go to trade shows.
Exactly. And you know, I think that Europe, I remember coming back from Matt's a couple of years ago at Louisville, and I was going, I think I was on the bus or something. I was talking to somebody, I think we left the hotel together and we were on our way to the airport. And they were from France, and the fellow owned a truck line in France, and he had a couple of American trucks that he collected. They weren't he didn't run them up and down the road, obviously, but he said to me how much more advanced Europe was than North America in so many ways with technology. And I think part of it comes from the fact that we have squandered so much in North America because we had so much. And, you know, my wife's family comes from the Netherlands. And I remember her, you know, her uncles and her father telling us how much fuel was there years and years ago. And, you know, it was back then, and I'm talking about 40 years ago, fuel was, you know, the equivalent of almost $4 a gallon. So there's something called the law of scarcity. And when you don't have much, you're very frugal with it. And when you have a lot, you tend to squander it. And whether it's money, shampoo, gasoline, diesel fuel, doesn't matter. And I think that in North America, because we have had an abundance of cheap fuel for forever. And although it's starting to hurt now and people are paying more attention to it, and you're reading more about the goal of 10 miles per gallon, I believe they've been getting pretty close to that or better than that in Europe for years. And all an awful lot of this technology that we have today in our new trucks actually came from Europe. You know, these are not new designed engines. These are just European engines put in North American trucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For my understanding, again, I am speaking intelligently to a topic that I really only know superficially. But yeah, my understanding is that a lot of that technology did come, you know, has kind of been developed there, again, also turned here into more of a aerodynamic situation because they don't have the long distances we have, obviously. Well, I mean, parts of Europe don't. You know, if you're in Russia, you're running, if not more than the U.S. But, I think a lot of that was driven by the density. A lot of it, you know, that transition from cab over engine kind of helps with that fuel efficiency, from my understanding. And there's a lot of different use cases again, but I also think that there is a good amount of technology that does come from Europe that is kind of really making its way and has helped develop the American market and vice versa. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that's come this way that way as well. It's helpful to have people to lean on. You're not the only one working towards this goal.
Yeah, you know, there's so much to learn. I find, unfortunately, for about the last 3 years or so, we've been exhibitors at truck shows. And because I'm exhibiting, I don't get a chance to walk around the way I used to. You know, I used to walk these shows from end to end nonstop and go to a couple of seminars and all sorts of things. And now, unfortunately, I'm stuck at my booth because that's what I always figure the company pays me to be at the booth and do my job, which is meet the trucking companies that we already use or forge relationships. But my gosh, there's so much that we can all learn to get better. And I think that's our only hope in the trucking business is learn how to do things better. And I think that shows like yours, especially yours from the sounds of it, because you know, it sounds like you're pinpointing to the exact remedy that is needed. And you know, it's that interaction between people that are having the same challenges, and some of them are further along than others. So you can just trade ideas, and, you know, it becomes a knowledge and information sharing venue as well as an educational. Well, it's still education, but you're educating each other rather than having somebody at the front of the room.
Yeah, Chuck. I mean, it gives you that honest interaction and really kind of gives you the opportunity to think outside of the box and have these conversations where potentially things could be resolved. It's like a multifaceted brainstorming. You know, you can go to a booth, say, hey, I was talking to so-and-so and he said that if I did this, you know, it would increase this by this. And what do you think? And, oh, well, you know, they're right over there. Let's go talk to them. And, you know, and they can have an honest conversation to kind of figure it out. So I think that there's a lot of value and there's a lot to be said about having those face-to-face interactions and having access to all this information at once. I mean, it can be kind of like drinking from a fire hose at times, but
great analogy.
Can be helpful. Yeah, exactly. You're like sitting there like, okay, well, how am I going to see all of this in 2 days or 3 days or even 4 days in some cases? But at the same time, it's having access to all of that where you're not having to dig through the internet or read tons of articles or, you know, take the hours and hours and hours to do all this legwork where you can actually get that done in 4 days to kind of see what's going on and then follow up when you have more time to get more specifics and kind of really dig into the details, but you can at least get that first blush, that first look and kind of figure out like, is this something I, you know, new and exciting that I can look into and see if this is really something that I can actually implement.
You know, Carmen, the problem with reading things on the internet is you're sitting there, you're reading it. And even if you're reading a book, it's irrelevant. but you have nobody to ask a question to where you know you're going to get a non-biased answer. So, mm-hmm. You know, you read something on the internet, and is it true? Or is it just somebody's opinion? And
yep, isn't that the truth?
I think when you're at, you know, and I think when you're in a some sort of a group, and you can put your hand up and say, well, how about this? Or what happens if this? Or why did this happen? You've got an instant answer, and somebody says, no, that's because of this. All of a sudden, you've got that, you know, it's like you've got that collaborative effect of people working together for a solution. And you're never going to get that sitting in your home office or in your company
exactly.
office or in your, you know, in your truck, reading the internet, trying to figure things out. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, we got a caller.
I think she put me through, but I don't think that.
Yep.
Can you guys hear me right now?
I can hear you perfectly. Jaden, welcome to Rates and Lanes with Carmen and Chuck tonight. How can we help you?
Okay, so I kind of stumbled upon this, but I've been interested in Tesla as a company. I know they had the Semi, but I didn't know what your guys' opinions on what would be the first thing to come. What would come first? Would it be, if they really had to, say there's a push, you can't use diesel fuel anymore, you can't make any more diesel gas-fueled trucks, what would be the push first, electric, or are we, like you guys were saying, I believe you guys were talking about hydrogen, but I know that the main drawback from the electric trucks was the range and uphills and things like that.
Well, the little bit, Carmen, if I can answer this just from my opinion.
Yeah.
Jaden, in my opinion, I think that I think hydrogen, and if somebody can shoot me down, please do. But I would think hydrogen because the problem with electric, it's the range, number one. Number two, if all the trucks in North America suddenly had to become electric, we would blow those grids up we'd blow them to heaven. There's not enough power out there to power all these trucks. There's hundreds of thousands of them, and I think we can produce hydrogen. Now, Carmen, tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Oh no, I actually, you know, again, that use case situation. That there's definitely places where electric will outshine as far as efficiency.
I was thinking more
short
range.
Yeah,
I mean,
you've got
your short range trips. But, like, the longer range, I was reading an article about they were just having problems with the main reason they weren't selling the trucks yet was the main problem was the long-range trips. You can only use it for very short hauls, and they don't have sleeper cabins on them because of that.
Yeah.
Which
and there's
fine,
also added weight of the battery.
Yeah. I think that's the big one. It's the added weight of the batteries because that weight of the batteries is going to take away from the weight of your payload. So unless they change the weight laws, which I can't see because of the way the roads are engineered, they would have to make some changes somewhere to accommodate that. And we can one thing about the trucking industry is, and I speak from experience, it reacts very quickly. You know, I remember the transition. I mean, I guess I'm giving away my age. From 45 to 48 foot trailers, it happened almost overnight, and then 48s to 53s again happened almost overnight. Drug testing policies that happened in like 8 months, and the United States government had a concise drug testing policy. So things can happen pretty quickly when politicians and industry work together to make things happen. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take all of your politicians and our politicians too, although our weight laws in Canada are much different and just because of our geographical makeup. And our weight laws permit us to haul heavier weights in a lot of cases throughout Canada than what you can in the U.S. But in the U.S., you're allowed 80,000 pound gross, and that includes the weight of your tractor, your trailer, your driver, and the load being no more usually than about, on a dry van, about 44, max 40, 45,000 is really hard to scale, but you could possibly do it, but it's next to impossible. So all of a sudden, these batteries, which become very heavy, take away from that payload. And I'm not an expert. I don't know exactly how much, but it is substantial. And then there's the charging of them, and that takes time. So
yep.
I think the idea works very well for delivering soda pop around and beer and thing and groceries around metropolitan areas like New York or San Francisco or L.A. or whatever. I think it's just, you're right, once you take those things outside of the commercial areas where they can't get back to a depot for a charge right away, that's where you start having problems. But this technology is in its infancy, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that what happens is things happen and people just push things forward. And it's usually some sort of something will happen to make, maybe it's the price of fuel. I know up in Canada, there's a big thing going on now with the carbon tax. And
mm-hmm.
diesel fuel is dear here. You know, it's pretty close to, it's about over $4 a gallon. So it's expensive. So I would think that these other technologies are looking more and more favorable all the time. I know that a couple of the Quebec-based carriers invested very heavily in propane trucks. And these were long-distance mm-hmm. trucks that could run on propane, or I'm sorry, natural gas. And everybody laughed at them because when they did it, natural gas wasn't that expensive. But now all of a sudden, diesel wasn't that expensive. Now all of a sudden, people are looking at these two companies going, geez, they're pretty smart. They timed it at the right time. I think there's all sorts of exciting things happening. And if you can make it to this show, please do. Jaden, I'm going to have to cut you loose because we have 2 minutes
and 22
seconds left.
That's fine. I know you guys had about 2 minutes, so I didn't want to interrupt
you. I really appreciate you calling in.
Having me on.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jaden.
Carmen, we have
2 minutes
and 7 seconds. And in recap, anything you want to add about this show, maybe how people can contact you or contact the show, anything else you want to say about it, now's your chance.
Awesome. I appreciate the opportunity. I just wanted to say thank you, Chuck, so much for this opportunity. It's been great to talk to you and great to talk about the show. And I really appreciate giving me time to kind of discuss where we're going and what we want to do with this event. And you are welcome as listeners to visit nacdshow.com. And there you can find all the latest information on what we're doing and how the show's developing. You can also register for the event. And if you have any questions, feel free to just fill out the form that's on there and we will answer them. Or you can call us. We're here to answer questions and help you get the most from this event possible.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I want to thank everybody. If anybody wants to call me, they can contact me at 800-388-4352, extension 312, and I'm sorry, extension 203. I gave you somebody else's extension. 203 gets me. You can reach me at chuck@traffix.com, or you can catch me on Instagram, Chuck Snow, CEO. I'm going to bid everybody good night. Carmen, thank you so much for joining the show. You were a wonderful guest. You're very informative, and I, as they say in showbiz, break a leg. And I look forward to meeting you in person and having more dialogue. I want to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to talk to you and join the Rates and Lanes podcast. It was a pleasure. I wish everybody a lot of profit this week. And be safe out there, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop. And as Rico says, keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Have a great day.
Good night.
Good night.